Good morning, church. It's my first time seeing you up here, but welcome to Only Believe. If this is your first time here, from our family to yours, we say welcome. I have some cousins in the house today. This is my cousin Mike, my mom's nephew. Is that the way this works? I've always seen Uncle Mike as an uncle, not a cousin, but that's just because I think of our age, because he's so much older than I am. Just kidding. Mike and I have a very strange relationship. When I was very young, he would wrap my baby doll called Dirty Sally. That was her name because she was filthy. Her eyes had been colored with blue markers, and I carried her wherever I went. And Uncle Mike, I would bring this dirty baby, and he never judged me for how dirty she looked. And you would squeeze her belly, and she would cry, you know. And I think I'd gotten water from that fake bottle you're supposed to give them, but I gave her real water. And so she'd ingested mold and all kinds of stuff, and she would like wheeze. She'd go, he never judged me for that. And he would wrap her so tight and swaddle it, and then I would hold it until, of course, she fell out, and then he would do it again and again and again. So Uncle Mike, thank you for helping me be such a nurturer. What's different from my life now? That I care for people that have been found unclean. That I too could carry a baby that had been unclean, that didn't have the perfect life, that she wasn't this beautiful American Girl doll like they say now, and that people would help me wrap them up and love them and carry them. Isn't that a shepherd's heart? Right? See? It's all for the purpose of God. Amen? All right. So if you joined us today, you have walked into a You Ask For It series. These are topics that literally you as church members have asked to know more about. So today, dun, 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 you ask about forgiveness. You ask about forgiveness for yourself and forgiveness for others. So I want something that's important. I think we start from the beginning is that it's important that you and I remember that the standard for forgiveness is not any man's standard. It's not any woman's standard. It's God's standard. Not even a self-help book. The greatest self-help book you're ever going to find is the Bible and the written word. And when we put our lives underneath that standard, that's what causes true freedom to happen. Not by man's standard. So I'll just be honest with you. I've been found more than once to need forgiveness from others. I've not often made right choices in my life. Not everything's perfect, as Randy has sold you the story. I'm not really the perfect person. And I'll be honest with you, I've also had to give forgiveness. Get and give. And I don't believe one's harder than the other, depending on the vastness of what you need forgiveness for. Like, it's easy if you didn't intentionally harm someone or mean to emotionally harm them, but when you did it on purpose and the Lord calls you out on it and you need to repent not only to him, but God requires something more of you to go to that person and ask for forgiveness, it can be very damaging if you don't receive it. So no matter what side you're on or what place you have found yourself in, I'm telling you, in this life and in the humanness that we are, you will always either need it or be giving it. It's not something you don't get a, pass card on for the rest of your life. You're gonna need it. And for those of you young kids that are still in here, I see a few of you out there, trust me, it's coming. So listen to the message because it's important that you know what to do with forgiveness. Acts 20:35 says that it's more blessed than it is to give than it is to receive. Now, some of you are saying, well, Pastor Nicole, that's about money. In the context of the scripture, it is. But the big idea of that it's better to give than it is to receive is stating that if you give without an attachment, did you hear that? If you will give something to someone without a requirement back, then the eternal reward for what you gave is far greater than anything in this life you could have received. Now, here's how does that work. It means that you and I, number one, should give without expecting anything in return. And it means that that's the way Christ gave to you and I. See, he loved you before you ever loved him. He knew that there was a price that you wouldn't be able to pay for yourself. And he said, I'm going to pay it. I'm going to take care of them. And if they will love me, they'll be my people. He didn't say when they would love him. There are some that will never love him and will never receive of the forgiveness that Christ gave. Let him be our example. I am motivated to forgive because of God's forgiveness for me without strings. That's a hard one. All right, let's go. We're going to turn to our Bible in Matthew, the 18th chapter, the 21st verse is where we're going to start. And we're going to read a little parable. And that's a story in the Bible. When somebody says it's a parable, it's just a simple story that Jesus taught us so that we can use and liken it to other things in our life. So here's what it says. It says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Now, mind you, this is the NIV. The NLT says 70 times seven. If you have a King James Bible, it says 70 times seven. I'm going to get to that in a little bit. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold. This is millions of dollars. Millions. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he, his wife, and his children, and all that he had, be sold to repay a debt. By the way, this is Old Testament and New Testament slavery. So those of you that think slavery was in the Bible, don't even go there. Slavery was when you could not pay a debt that you owed, so you were enslaved to a master until that debt was paid. In no way, shape, or form were people bought and sold to be slaves. So don't even try to use that. Sorry, thought I should say that. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. He said, be patient with me, he begged. I will pay everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. This was thousands of dollars. Mind you, the first debt was millions and it was forgiven. But because this was 10,000s, he thought he should collect. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me. I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off, had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had just happened. Then the master called the servant in and he said, you wicked servant, he said. I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart. Wow! First thing that we see here is that forgiveness is something that you and I are either going to need over and over, or something that we're going to give over and over. Now, some of you say, well, this is why I don't read the NIV, because it says 77 times. Well, I'll let you know that there's five other translations that say 77 times and not 7 times 7D, which equals 490. But let me tell you what the meaning of that looks like. Seven is the Hebrews number of perfection. Perfection. So Jesus listens to Peter in all of his wisdom because he thinks Peter's smart. He's like, Peter, Jesus, you think I should forgive him seven times? You know, because that's your perfect number. Jesus one-ups Peter. He says, no, not seven times, Peter. Seven times seven, which equals four, seven times 70, which is 490, or 77 times. What Jesus is saying to Peter is it's going to be more than you could ever complete. But when you do it in me, in my perfection, because I'm the only one who has not sinned, I'm the only one that has not needed forgiveness, when you do it in me and through me, it will be perfect. And you're going to keep doing it as many times as it takes. Because in my weakness, you are made perfect. Is that not beautiful? My grace is sufficient for you. See, we don't think we have the ability to forgive. You don't understand what happened to me, Nicole. I can't forgive once, let alone 77 times. How do I allow this to keep happening in my life? I'm not saying stick around for time 77. I didn't say that. I don't even know that it's the same person 77 times. What I know is that when you are weak, he is made strong. Therefore, I brag about all of my weaknesses because in them, he is made strong. When you and I forgive beyond what is reasonable, beyond what the world says is right. Oh, well, you know, one time something, two times is a mistake, but three times? No, no, they're done. You don't get no forgiveness from here. When you go beyond what the world says is right, they begin to see Jesus's light shining through you. And they go, wow, that's a strong person. No, it's not the strong person. It's that Jesus is being made strong through your weakness. And the world is now watching how you're forgiving like him. Secondly, the master shows us what forgiveness looks like. The man owes him millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. This is you and I. We are the one who owes a debt that we cannot pay. Colossians says that we were found slaves, dead in our sin. Slaves, what did that mean? Not been bought and sold because of our color or for our race, but bought and sold because of the wrong we had done. And Jesus came in and said, I'll buy them up. I'll take them and I'll pay the ransom for who they are. And when I do, I'll raise them to life. And they'll become my children. That's Colossians. It's the second chapter, the 13th and 14th verse. See, I didn't have a way to pay my debt. He didn't just pay it. He canceled it. And he let me go. Oftentimes, I think you and I got this a little backwards. See, we forgive, but then we hold them captive. Don't you remember when you did this? Oh, I've forgiven you, but. See, we forgive, but in the still place in our back, in the backness of our mind, we want them to pay for what they did to us. What is that? That's forgiveness without letting them go. They're still imprisoned. Because you keep reminding of the wrong that they've done. You keep bringing it back. Parents, just let me say something. When your kids have failed and fallen short, please don't remind them. I had to learn this the hard way. I was a reminder. Until finally, Randy looked at me. Literally, this is how I remember it. This isn't the way it happened. What's wrong with you? Let him go. Why do you keep bringing this up? It's in the past. Let the kid go, Nicole. And I just began to weep. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you're healed from the wrong. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you don't feel the pain from what's been done or that you don't remember any longer. But when you choose to let someone go, they're no longer your prisoner. They're no longer the one that you get to remind of the wrong that they did to you. You got to let them go. Sometimes it's easier said than done. Literally, the definition of forgiveness in the New Testament means to pardon, to excuse a fault, to let go. I just want to say what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not acknowledging a wrong that's been done to you. It doesn't make the wrong that was done to you, about you, said about you, infringed upon you, taken from you. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't minimize your hurt. It doesn't erase what's been done. Oftentimes people think when they have to forgive somebody that it's accepting the wrong. It's not any of those. It's not accepting the wrong that was done to you. It's simply choosing to let go of what you're carrying against that person. It's to let them go. It's following the master's plan. It's to pardon them and say, I'm letting you go. You owe me nothing for what you did to me. I forgive you. You and I each needed forgiveness from God. When you release that process, do you understand that forgiveness can't be earned? Oh, this is a good one. We try to make people earn our forgiveness. We're like, well, when you do this, this, and this, then I'll forgive you. And I'll know you really deserve my forgiveness. See? You don't even realize you do it. You don't even realize it. You're like, nope, I'm not going to trust that person because. By all means, I'm not saying if that person hurt you, that you walk right back into a relationship with that person. Or that you continue to be best friends with someone who sold you down the river. I don't think you should do that. I don't think you should be with anyone who's abused you, who's molested you, who's taking advantage of you. That is not what I'm saying in this picture. But what I am going to remind you of is that if you do not pardon them and let them go, you will be the one that is caught in prison. It will not be the person that's hurt you. Chances are they've just moved on. They don't even want to remember it. It's so much easier for them. They just wash their hands clean. I'm like, well, there's nothing I can do about that. And they just move on. But you're the one left holding the resentment and holding the debt in your hand, counting how much they owe, expecting them to deliver on the payment. When chances are, they're never going to deliver on the payment. Forgiveness. It's not forgetfulness. Doesn't mean that you forget the wrong. Doesn't mean that you forget the hurt. It means you're forgiving. I'm giving you a pardon. I'm giving you something, even though you don't deserve to get nothing. Please say it a little nicer than that. I'm trying to make a point that oftentimes we hold on to it, not understanding that forgiveness is something that you have to give away. No one can take it from you. No one can take it, though they try. Do you forgive me? Do you forgive me? You can say you forgive them, but that's someone taking it from you. They're taking it from you. They just want you to say it so they can move on and get out of the way. But out of the sincerity of one's heart, one must really contemplate, if I'm going to give you forgiveness, then I'm going to give you a free pass. And I'm going to let you go. If you don't let it go, you will be bound. Do you remember how I said that? But here's what's happened. When you hold on to unforgiveness, and all you say is, I forgive you, but you really just keep holding on as hard as you can. You're not giving anything up. The second what you're holding on is binding you. Where's Sergey? Sergey, come. Is he here? Jordan, come on up. I need a strong man. Jordan, let me take... Ashley, you can be my girl. And I know, I got you, baby. I got you. Come on, come on, come on. You were my first choice. Come on. What a man, what a mighty, mighty, mighty good man. Come on, church.
She got
weak. Okay. Ashley, you're going to take medium. Let me show you this. Now, this is in no way, shape, or form. This is not our small group. Just for those of you that have been through the forgiveness small group, I'm not mimicking the same thing I want you to know because I see it a little differently. And here's what I say. This rock that I carry is unforgiveness. And I have it because I've been hurt by this. And I picked up that weapon and I'm not letting you hurt me with it again. But imagine what my life looks like when I carry something that's not meant to be carried. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to try to read my Bible, and I still have my, wait, depends on how bad it hurts you. You can carry it in your dominant hand, or you can carry it in your less dominant hand. And the size of your forgiveness matters. Well, watch what I'm going to do. I can still read my Bible with this rock. Jordan, your forgiveness is much harder than mine, because you were abused as a child. This is all makeup. You were abused as a child. The very people that you trusted to raise you did an awful job, and they literally were mean to you, bad to you, locked you in a closet, and didn't give you food. And I'm going entirely extreme to get in a point. Pick up your rock. Now, Jordan's hanging on to this for life. Come over here, Jordan. Try to turn the pages of my Bible and read. Nope.
What?
No, you're holding on. You are locked up in his own prison with this hand. But look at how much ease I have, right? Jordan, let your rock go. Let your rock go. Are you free to do what God wants you to do?
It's easy now.
Okay, hold that rock. Oh. Ashley, pick up your medium rock. Here's what the devil tries to do to you and I. We live with this unforgiveness in our hearts. We try to stash it. We try to hide it. People look at you and they go, what's wrong with them? Because they see you're holding on to something. They know that you're not who you were meant to be, because they're like, why does she carry that dumb rock around? But do you know that people that walk around with unforgiveness, you can see it. You can see it because you're treating everyone else through the lens of this rock. If you came to my house and I have unforgiveness, do you know that your whole meal was cooked with this rock in my hand? And that wherever this rock came from, as dirty as it was, all of that filth, Mom, you wouldn't be able to eat dinner that night, would you?
No,
she couldn't, because you know what? This came from the pond. It's disgusting. It came from that big old trench out there, and it's nasty. Sergey just picked him out this morning. It's got mold. It's gross, right? But this is what happens. You begin carrying this around, and it affects everything you do. And some of us say, well, I only have a little unforgiveness. I just have, well, I'm medium, you know? I'm medium. And then you got Jordan. Like, imagine. Be ready, just in case. Oh, my gosh. Like, just imagine walking around life. I'm already out of breath. That's huge. But this is what unforgiveness looks like in our lives. And it impairs and hinders God's purpose for your life. Thank you. I'm going to preach with this rock for the rest of the service because I want you to see what I'm doing. By the way, if you've joined have not joined the unforgiveness small group, you should, because you have to carry this around for 6 days, 6 hours of every day until the next week when you meet. So for 7 days, for 6 hours a day. And I would just like to say that there are things as a human that are necessary that you have to do every day that are encumbered by holding this rock. Try wiping. I'm just saying, it affects every part of your life. Thirdly, if you and I, who owed millions, millions to God for what our sin has caused, for what we've done, and we don't have mercy on the one who has done us, hear me out, so little in comparison to Jesus laying down his life, is that situation really worth hanging on to? Is that where they talked about you? Girls, I'm talking to every girl in this house where there's girl drama. Because that person shared your story or told something about you that wasn't true, is it worth it? Is it worth your eternity? To the men who someone one-upped you at your workplace, they took that position that was rightfully yours. They told the boss something maybe that wasn't true about you so that they could get ahead in life. Is it worth eternity? Is it worth it? Please hear me. I'm not minimizing any part of hurt in your life. I'm not. And for those who have been raped, those who have been molested, those who have been taken advantage of, I'm sorry. But in order for you to grow, in order for you in your life with Christ to not be hindered, you have to let it go. Amen. And when you let it go, not only is it freedom for them, but it's freedom for you. Freedom for them. They don't deserve freedom, Nicole. You don't understand. They need to be locked up. So did you. See, in God's eyes, sin is sin. No matter how dark, no matter how deep, no matter how wrong, no matter how long it occurred, it's all wrong. And if you've lied, then we're just the same. And we're in need of forgiveness. Millions of dollars. So why couldn't we bestow it for someone so little? Do you know that when you hold on to unforgiveness, you have a higher fatality rate than anyone else? Do you know that hypertension, diabetes, and heart disease is accompanied to unforgiveness? Why would we allow someone to hurt us and then take our life and cut it short? No, I'm not giving you that pleasure. You don't get to cut my life short. My life is worth something. Christ died for me. He paid my debt and let me go. It hurts you and I. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Let's turn there in the scripture. Here's what it says to you and I. It says, in anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Do you realize that when you and I are angry, when we're hurt about something, when we're bitter, we begin to build up this resentment inside of us, and the devil puts his foot in. That's all he does. He just got to put his foot in. How big of a crack do you think the devil needs to get sickness, to get disease, to get lying thoughts, to get a hold of one of your children? Because I'm telling you, it's just a foothold. I don't know how wide his foot is. He's an angel, so it might be bigger than mine and yours. I don't know. But I know this, he's rendered powerless because I've been given authority over him. So if I'll take the authority and shut the door and not give him a foothold, then he can't get into my life. What would it look like if the children of Israel, who put blood on their doorposts, cracked their door and let him come in? Through anger, through bitterness, through rage, through malice, because of unforgiveness for one another. I highly doubt they would have all walked out of Egypt whole. But not one of them were sick. You want to know why? Because there wasn't a foothold. There wasn't a fence. Everything they had been put through, every bit of enslavement, everything. By the way, do you know what 7 times 70 equals? 490. The amount of years that the Israelites were held captive. But God still delivered them into their perfect place. Even in the midst of being bound and being tied up and being the slaves to what it was. What was it? It was Jesus taking them out of slavery and putting them into his perfect will. It is God's perfect will for you and I. Not only did he come to not enslave us, but to free us from it, but he came that you would release others and not be held captive by unforgiveness and give the enemy a foothold in our lives. Go on down to chapter 2, the verse 33, or 31 and 32. And it says, did I already read these? Let me see. 31 and 32 says, oh, I need my glasses. Did I? I didn't. Thank you, honey. You're so good. You take care of me. It says, 31 and 32, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Does anyone notice that those get worse? Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Three steps. Three steps. I'm telling you that when the devil, when you go, let the sun go down on your wrath when you are angry, it breeds something more than you are ready for. It starts to breed offense. It starts to breed that bitterness. It starts to build rage inside of you. And when you think of them, you're like, oh, ever been there? Oh, come on. Don't act like I'm the only one in this place that's been offended. Don't act like I'm the only one that's ever been angered or enraged or found bitterness in my heart against someone. When you say their name, there's a little instance in you that goes, My dad said that's how you always knew if you had unforgiveness in your heart for someone. When they mention their name, if you go, I got to be honest with you, I still got a few. I go, over. I'm working through it. I'm going to tell you how. Don't worry, I'm not carrying that big rock anymore. But that's where it starts. And here's what it says. It says, brawling and slander along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ, God, forgave you. Follow his example is what it starts in chapter 5. Follow his example for you and I. Freely, freely you have received. Now freely give. Freely give what? Freely give forgiveness. Because you've received it. And it's so good for you. Let's go to Mark, the 11th chapter. In 25. No, let's not. Let's not. My time's running faster than I can get through it. Some of you may be asking, so here's the thought that I want to remind you of today, is that when you hang on to that unforgiveness, remember how it said that he, the first guy, was locked up into a prison. Do you identify that you are locked when you carry it around? That you're inside the prison and can do nothing outside of yourself because you won't let it go. When you let it go, it not only unlocks your prison, but the prison that's on someone else. When you hang on to it, it said that he gave him over to the jailer to be tortured. Tortured. Tortured where? Tortured in your mind. Tortured in your mind. This is where he begins to play on what's been happening in your life. And if you don't choose to let go of the unforgiveness, if you don't choose to let go of the rock, that's where it starts. When I was a teenager, I asked Dad, you ever had those questions where it says, your kids get you in the car and they said, hey, Mom, would you rather? Would you rather be burned by fire or would you rather freeze to death in Alaska? These are the questions you get. David, you just wait. You haven't had these questions yet? Okay. And I'm like, I don't know. I would like neither. That's not the game, Mom. Would you rather? Well, I would ask Dad questions like, hey, Dad, if someone gets in a fight, husband and wife, and he storms out of the house, goes to get into his car, and when he opens his car door, a truck comes and smacks him down, is he going to heaven or is he going to hell? Dad said, well, I think he's going to heaven. I said, well, why? He said, because I think when he walked down the sidewalk, if the Lord hasn't had a chance to convict him of that angry spat and him have had time to repent over it, then he hasn't been convicted of it yet, and he's going to make it because God's grace is bigger than anything you and I can ever think of. Well, the older I got, my questions got a little deeper. Because it wasn't just about a husband and wife fighting. I said, hey, Dad, what if I'm trying to forgive, but I'm not there yet? And God comes back. Will I go to heaven? He said, oh, honey. He said, see, when you let go of the unforgiveness, all you got to do is put your feet on the ground every day and say, I forgive you. I forgive you. He said, because it's not of your own self that you can forgive someone that's done you wrong. It's out of Christ and through him. Just like your sins are forgiven, so must you look to him to help you to forgive others. I said, so I'll go to heaven even if I have a little that I'm working on. He said, God's looking at the motive of your heart, Nicole. And as long as you're working on what you're dealing with and stepping towards freedom, God knows the motive of your heart and you're believing. But one day when you put your feet on the ground, because this is the only way I could do it, was every day to wake up and put my feet on the ground and say, I forgive you. And get up and go about my life. I don't know that I believed it in the beginning. I don't know that I believed I really forgave these people. And in fact, there's times, you know, my dad's funeral, man, it brought up a lot of feelings. A lot of feelings. I had some people come through the line. Gotta be honest with you. This is what I did. I tried to pick it back up. I'm so angry. I've got all these emotions. I don't know what to do with them. I'm really upset. I think this is unfair. I don't want to deal with death yet. Here it is. And I can't choose to do anything else but breathe it in. Breathe it in. And I did. And then just like the devil, ding, 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 ding. Oh, I'm so sorry about your loss. And I'm like, yeah, right. No, I'm being real. I'm being really transparent and real with you. Guess what I had to do? I forgive you. I forgive you. And day after day after day, I'm in the process of forgiving and letting go. I promise you, I really don't want them to pay me back for anything because I really don't ever want to talk to them again in my life. Hear me out. But I have stopped requiring anything to be made right with those people. It's not that I don't love them. I don't want my life to be entwined with people that I cannot trust. And I felt I couldn't trust them. I felt they had been deceitful towards me. And it doesn't mean that I can't see them in a parking lot and wave and say, hey, how's life treating you? I'm so glad things are working well for you. This is beautiful. It doesn't mean that if they needed something and called me, that I wouldn't be there. But I'm not sticking around long enough for you to sting me again. I'm serious. And this is my process, and I'm being real with you. Maybe there will be a day that I'm not afraid of the sting, but it still stings. And if I think on it too long, I can go right back and pick up that big rock. And I don't want to be that. I want to be like Christ. So you know that little part of the Lord's Prayer that says, forgive us our sins as we forgive others who sin against us, blah, 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 blah. I name their names there. As many times as I say that prayer, a week or a month, I name them there until when I name their name, I don't go, Just saying. It's a process. But it starts with choosing to forgive. Choosing to let them go. Let them go from what? From your payment. Do you want to know why? This is a really good part of the story. For those of you that do have unforgiveness, I'm not telling you should live here because it's not a really good place to live, but I want you to know that when you do what you want, when you do it God's way, when you choose to lay the unforgiveness down and you choose to start forgiving and you start walking by faith towards forgiveness. There are days that this is laid down. And then I'll pick it back up for a couple hours. And then the Holy Spirit will work on me. He'll say, you're trying to do this of your own worth. You have to depend on me to help you to forgive. It's through Jesus that you forgive. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. I got this. Yep. Lord, through me, all things are possible through you, and you're going to do the work in me, and I don't have to do it on my own. And then come lunchtime, here I am again. So I lay down. Why? It's comforting. You deserve it. It feels good to carry it. Because you think you were wronged. You have to depend on the Holy Spirit. But thirdly, you must obey. And this is where we often don't succeed. Because we want to take matters into our own hands. When we demand payment for something that was wrong to us and we don't get it, we will not choose to obey God's word because of it. But if you read what his scripture says, it's really insightful. This is what it says. Go to the last scripture of our day, and we're going to Romans, the 12th chapter, the 11th verse. And I'm going to read it because I think there is a type of comfort in this. Let's start in the 14th verse. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy for those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. It's hard to do when you don't like the people you're with. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. How many have tried to pay back the person with more evil? Because you think they'll learn that way if somebody does it to them. Bless God, I'm going to teach them a lesson. Repayment never works. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. This is God, not you, not me. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame upon their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Let me ask you, do you think that it's prideful to think that you could repay your enemies better than God? Listen, the people that have wronged you, if they are not walking with God, they are at enmity with God. And that makes them an enemy. Now, it's not okay for you to pray that they stay an enemy and that they get God's payment. That's not okay. That's you taking matters into your own hands. But when someone doesn't choose to follow God, in the end, no matter how long it takes to play your life story out, in the end, if that person that wrongfully did what they did to you and hurt you and did all these awful things to you, if they don't get it right, God will repay all they did to all of you. Who am I to think that I could repay as good as God can? Now, I know that seems comfort and solace in the midst of, but I'm telling you that if people choose in the end to not serve the Savior, they will reap the reward of what they've chose. That's the word. But that's also you and I. Do you and I think that we are so prideful, so stiff-necked in ourselves that we won't forgive others but think that God's going to forgive us? Matthew warns us of this. It's not that God won't forgive you of your sins. He will, because God's forgiveness is not conditional. The condition is that if you don't forgive others, how in the world can you believe that he forgave you? So if you're saved, the same faith that it took for you to accept Christ as your personal Savior and for him to forgive you, is the same faith it takes to forgive the one that hurt you. Nothing more. The same faith. You have to choose to let it go. You have to depend on the Holy Spirit. Trust me, it's not in you to have the ability to forgive what's been wronged. It's not your human nature at all. Your human nature is to pay them back and to demand payment. Have you ever heard the saying, it's the matter of, it's not whether it's wrong or right. It's just a, it's, it matters. That's what, it matters. You're right. You're right. It does. And it matters to God too. But you can't hang on to it. And number three, you must obey. I want to talk just for 1 minute about those who have a struggle forgiving yourself. You may say, Pastor Nicole, you don't get what I've done. I've been awful. I don't like who I was, and I can't undo what I did. And I feel horrible for it. God forgives you. Forgive yourself. You're just imprisoning yourself. You're locked in this cell that you can't get free of. And the devil is torturing your mind over and over and over and reminding you of your wrong. Stop talking about what you've done wrong. Stop talking about who did you wrong. All you do is rebreathe life. Rebreathe the struggle. Stop talking about it. And start giving it to God. He forgives you. In fact, he chose to forget it. How is it that if he knows everything, he forgets your sin as far as the east is to the west? Do you realize that if he would have forgotten your sin as far as the north to the south, it would have touched and it couldn't have been forgiven? That's a science lesson for some of you. And I didn't do good in science. I copied it from someone. But if you go east to west, they never touch. You'll always start going east. And you'll always keep going east. And always keep going east. Why? Because Jesus chooses not to remember our sin. I can't wait till I get to the point that I say, I don't even want to remember that anymore. And let it go. Because it's at that point that I will finally find true freedom. Release yourself. Release yourself by releasing the one who has wronged you. Please stand to your feet this morning. We choose to forgive. We choose to let it go. We choose to lay it at the feet of Jesus. This is what every day looks like for those of you that have unforgiveness. When I lay it down, I pick up everything else that he's blessed us with. But if my hands are full of unforgiveness, I can't receive what he's giving to me. Every hand lifted this morning. Father, we choose you. We choose to trust you with our life. We chose to trust you with these hurts. We choose to trust you with this place of unforgiveness in our life, whether small, medium, or large. Father, there's certain events that we remember like yesterday. And there's certain ones that they're further away from us now. But God, today, we choose to forgive. I just want you to take this time. Maybe there's some people that even as I was talking, their name came in your mind. And you're like, Just cast their name out there to Jesus and let it go. God, we don't demand repayment for that. We don't want anyone to repay us for the wrong that's been done. Father, we're pardoning them. We're letting it go so that our relationship with you can grow. We don't want anything hindering who we are between you and I. God, help us to forgive. And Father, we desire one day to be able to choose to forget it. Help us in our path. Help us in this journey. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. You began it and you'll finish it. If you're in this house today and you say, Pastor Nicole, I need Christ's forgiveness for sin, then this is your time. If you're here in the house and you've said, I really need this forgiveness, but I gotta let go of the person that wronged me. See, I was wronged by church people. I'm sorry. I gotta be honest with you, family hurts family. We don't mean to sometimes, but we do. It can get a little messy. Christians are messy. We think we're doing what's right. We try to make it right and we still get it wrong. Maybe you've been hurt by the church. I'm not going to promise you that we're not going to hurt you, but we're going to try not to. We're going to try to be nice. We're going to try to be kind. We're going to try to be truthful. But we're going to speak the word to you too. And you need Jesus this morning in your life. If there's anyone here, this is an altar call for you. And I just want you to raise your hand and say, Pastor Nicole, I want to accept Jesus today. I want to accept that forgiveness that you're talking about. And I don't know about all this other forgiveness, but I'm going to try. If that's you, just lift your hand in this house today. There are people walking around and looking for your hand to raise. We'll get to you. Is there anyone in this house? Anyone that would say, my life is not right and I need forgiveness for my sin? It's a heavy load. It's a heavy load to carry on your own. God's willing and able to help you carry it and walk with you through it. If there's no one in the house today, if there's no one in the house that needs forgiveness of sin, I'm asking if there's anyone that's sick in your body today, anyone that's sick in your body and needs a miracle. I believe that Randy, Pastor Randy did communion before and he called us to claim out our healing. But I believe that if there's someone here that wants their hands of the elders laid upon them, that we can pray over the sick today. That's what God wants to do in this service. Is there anyone that is sick in their body? Come. If you're sick in your body, come and you want prayer. Randy, Mom, come down. Our prayer team, come down. We're going to do this in the name of Jesus. Yes. Tammy, you got anybody back there for salvation? Okay, yep, that's sickness. We got that. Pastor Randy, right here. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. Yes. Anyone else? Lord, we're in a church with a bunch of healed people? Well, that's a good problem to have. Amen. Amen. Is there anyone? All right, come on down. We got that. All right, church, I'm going to pray over you, and I'm going to release you, and we're going to pray. Okay, there's another couple coming. Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone under the sound of my voice today that says, I heard your message, but I can't do it. I can't forgive. I won't forgive. You don't understand. Is there anyone under the sound of my voice that says they won't and they can't? Because I want to pray for you today. I believe you're going to be released from your prison, and I think you're going to wake up tomorrow and you're going to think you can by the strength and the power of God in you. Is there anyone in this house that says, I can't? I don't have what it takes. Pastor Nicole, anybody? You can. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I speak over my brother Frederick. God, I come right now to you, to the very throne room of God. And Father, we lay down this heavy weight. We lay down this unforgiveness. And Father, in his own strength, he can't. But God, with you, he can. Father, you've seen this journey. You've seen this. Oh, it's a beautiful journey, Frederick. I'm telling you. But God's looking to walk you out of that prison. To walk you out. You got to go. You can't just continue to sit there any longer. You have to choose to walk out. And you coming down here today is your choice. Now, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you where he thinks he cannot, that his mind would begin to be healed in the name of Jesus, that there would be a miracle in this man's soul and in his emotions once and for all. I take authority over this mental illness. I command you to come out of him right now in the name of Jesus and set him free, says the Lord. I just come before you. I'm going to turn my mic off. I need to talk to you. Larry, turn off my microphone. Hallelujah. This is Andrea. Andrea had a stroke. I talked to her before church, and she could not move her left arm. And we prayed, and look at her move her arm.
Come on. Yes.
Now, Andrea, that is called the working of miracles.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you to go, and the work of the miracle will
yes.
be fulfilled.
Yes. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Come on.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Church, give God praise today in the house. He not only set people free, but he began a work of miracles. We serve a God. Her faith was bred before this service when she said, Pastor, I believe God can do the impossible. I said, and so do I, Andrea. And I thought her name was Amanda, but I got it right this time. She corrected me. Thank
yes.
you. Thank you. You got anything else?
I don't have anything as far as...
Okay, well, let's bless them and let them go.
Yeah, okay.
God just healed the back. Is that what you said?
Well, sometimes with something, fire was going through. He instantly God took it away. That's what he does.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Go ahead, close it out.
All right. Father, we just come before you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this church. We thank you for your glorious church, Father, that we can be a part of your work. God, I ask that you would bring people into our path, Father, with emotional needs this week, Father, physical needs, Father, sickness and disease in their body, God, that we would be your children, that we would deliver hope and freedom to the world through your son, Jesus. Yes. Father, give us those appointments. Give us them divine appointments in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Bless and keep each and every one of us, Father, as we go in your name until we meet again on Wednesday. Thank you, church. In Jesus' name, have a good Sunday. We love you. Greet someone on your way out.